Tonight for our pre-communion service, I want us to turn our attention to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. This coming Lord's Day on Sabbath, Paul Flynn will be continuing his series on Ezra in the morning. But after the Lord's Supper, we're going to return to this verse in Galatians 2:20 for our table address, and then I'll be preaching on it again at our Thanksgiving service on Sunday evening. Galatians, as a letter, is really concerned about the battle over how we are saved. Are we made right with God through the good things that we do and the bad things that we don't do? Or are we saved purely through God's undeserved grace? This was a battle that Paul the Apostle was involved in. The early Christians in Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, they were coming under the influence of a group of people known as the Judaizers. And they were telling these early Christians that to be truly saved, it wasn't enough just to have faith in Jesus Christ, but you also have to follow the law, the Jewish law, the traditions and customs. If you want to be a true Christian, then that's what you must do. And so Paul is dealing with this issue. He's defending the gospel. And he's warning the church that any form of good news that speaks of works or that speaks of self-righteousness is no gospel at all. Look at Galatians 2, verse 16. Paul says, a person is not justified, that is, not made right, by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, there's no human involvement, no human effort involved in our salvation. We are either in Christ by God's grace alone, or we are outside of Christ, deserving of God's wrath, punishment. Works, traditions, any form of self, that's not the good news. The true gospel matters. Understanding how we are made right before God matters. That's what Galatians is all about. With that basic overview in mind, we turn to chapter 2 and verse 20. Because here we reach a climax in what Paul has been saying. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Paul says here is a true statement that we need to pay attention to. There's nothing that I bring to my salvation. It's what Christ has done for me. It's what has happened to me in and through Jesus Christ. And we find tonight as we look at this verse that what is true for Paul is true for every believer. If you are in Christ this evening, if you are trusting in Christ alone for salvation, then this verse is true for you. Tonight I want us to consider the first part of this verse, a great change that has been made. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. There's a great change that has been made to Paul and to every believer. I want us to look at this under three headings. Firstly, I have been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Now that seems like an outrageous statement. But yet we have it here in God's word. Paul says, I've died with Christ. I've been nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. I've been crucified with Jesus. Crucifixion was the punishment for the most severe of criminals under Roman law. It was the law's requirement that criminals be punished in this way. They were nailed to a cross where they eventually died. Back in verse 19, the previous verse, Paul says, "For through the law I died to the law." Again here Paul is saying that he has died. This time he mentions the law as being the instrument of his death. Through the law. It is the law that has killed me. It is the law that has brought the punishment of death to me. The law demands justice. The law requires punishment for sin. I want you to remember that. Keep that fixed in your mind. The law demands that breaking the law requires punishment. Paul then goes on to say in verse 19 that through the law, he has died to the law. Now that the punishment is satisfied, now that the law has been carried out and carried out its justice, it therefore has no more hold over the guilty party. In this case, of course, we're speaking about the punishment of death. Where the criminal, where the guilty party is sentenced to death, and where that punishment is carried out, when the person dies, then the law has no more hold, no more punishment for them. The law can't require them to die again. The punishment has been taken. They're already dead. Paul is saying, through the law's demands and punishment, I have now died to the law. It can't exact any more justice because it's already been paid. And then we come to your statement in verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Jesus was nailed to the cross. His body was broken. His blood was shed. The eternal Son of God, the one who is God, who came to earth, Emmanuel, he underwent the punishment for sin. He endured what the law requires. Even though he had never done anything wrong, even though there was no sin in him, he took the punishment that the law requires. And that's because there being nailed to the cross was also the Lamb of God, the substitute, the one who sang before going into the garden on the night when he was betrayed, "Bind to the horns of the altar with cords the sacrifice." That's from Psalm 118. He knew he was going to the place of sacrifice. He knew he was going to give his life. He knew he was making the payment for sin. Born under the law, although having never broken the law, he now takes the punishment that the law demands, and Christ dies. Death for sin, even though he had never done anything wrong. Now, I hope you're following me here, because this helps us understand this outrageous statement from Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. Now, Paul obviously can't be talking about his physical body. He wasn't there on the cross physically. He doesn't have the nail marks in his hands and his feet. He's still living and breathing. Now, Paul is speaking about his inner nature, his spiritual self. In Romans chapter 6, verse 6, he says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Our old self was crucified with him. Paul is saying that my sin, my old twisted nature, who I was, that old self, me when I was in spiritual darkness and under the wrath of God with no hope, that old self was taken with Christ and on the cross. And just as Jesus was taking the punishment that my sin deserved through the law, so also my old self was being put to death. It was being crucified. Paul here uses what's called the perfect tense. I have been crucified. It's a technical way of saying that this one-time action in the past that's now complete, never to be repeated, has benefits for me today. I have been crucified. That's happened once. The old self has been removed, put to death. But I'm enjoying the benefits of that today. What a change has come to Paul. And just to get even more technical, this is also a verb in the passive voice. Don't worry if you don't know what that means. I will quickly explain. It means that it's an action that is done to us. Paul couldn't do this himself. He couldn't put his old self to death. He couldn't change himself. No, his old nature, his old being, his old self, that the sinful nature, it was taken by God. And God has done away with it in Jesus Christ on the cross. I've died with Christ. What a change. What a change has come to Paul. And this, friends, is our experience. If we are believers, if you are in Christ Jesus, your old nature, the old sinful self, it has been crucified with Christ. God the Father has taken that sinful self and he has put it to death with Jesus Christ on the cross. There is Christ was taking the punishment that our sin deserved. He was also putting to death who we were as those under the wrath and anger of God. It's done away with. The punishment is complete. There's no more that the demands of the law can have on you. Because the punishment is done. You've been put to death with Christ on the cross. He's paid the price. He's taken that old self. The punishment is complete. Through the law, died to the law. The law, with all of its demands and its accusations, with its punishment. And remember, God's law demands death for sin. The punishment of the law has no hold on us. The price paid, received in full. My old nature is dead. What a change. And so this brings us, secondly, to the next part of the verse. It is no longer I who live. It is no longer I who live. The old nature, the old self, is now dead. It's gone. We'll think a little bit in a moment about why we still struggle with sin if the old nature is dead. But let's think of Paul. Paul used to be Saul of Tarsus, but now he's Paul the Christian. He used to be the persecutor of the church, and the hater of Jesus Christ. Who he was is now dead. It is no longer I who live. Now, we may never have been a persecutor of Christians. We may never even have really considered ourselves to be haters of Jesus Christ, although before we were brought to faith, that is how the Bible describes us. We may never have been in the depths like Saul, although some of you have. But we have all had the sinful nature ruling in us. We have all been in Satan's kingdom. We were all by nature children of wrath, that is, under the righteous judgment of God. And that's because our sinful natures share something, outside of the fact it's called the sinful nature. And that's self. Putting ourself before God. Putting our own desires, our own pleasures, our own goals, our own purposes before God. Paul is saying that life, it isn't about him anymore. I no longer have a life of my own where I pursued what I desired. And isn't that really at the core of sin? Living for self before God, putting ourselves in the place of God. We live in an age where self-identity, self-esteem, self-fulfillment are the be-all and the end-all. They are the supposed human rights. We have a right to be ourselves. And it perhaps sounds very good and perfectly acceptable, but when we really consider it, we find that it's stained, twisted. It's a selfish way to live. We make ourselves to be the one to be worshipped. We make ourselves to be the standard of truth. We make ourselves to be God. I'll do what I believe is right. Well, the Bible shows us that certainly didn't work in the Garden of Eden. Didn't work in the days of Noah. It didn't work at the end of the book of Judges, where we're told every man did what was right in his own eyes. It's fundamentally sin. Rebelling against God, against the kingship of Jesus Christ. But Paul is saying that part of me is now declared dead. It's done away with. Beforehand, my life was about me, my old sinful desires, my focus, but that's now gone. I'm no longer the king of my life. And what an awful king we are, our queen, when we seek to rule our own lives. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What a change. This is true for us. The old has gone. We no longer have a life of our own. No longer serving our own desires, our own pleasures, our own goals. We're no longer under the rule of self, which is sin and deserving of punishment because we're putting ourselves before God. Paul says, it is no longer I who live. That old self is dead. Now, this isn't saying that we won't fall into old habits. This isn't saying that we won't still sin or be selfish again or be tempted by sin. But that fundamental nature, that old self, is dead. I've used this illustration many times before, but I keep coming back to it because I think it is so helpful. We were slaves to sin. That was our life. And that old master of sin, or Satan, was cruel and severe, unkind, demanding, and dangerous. And yet we had to serve him. There was nothing else we could do. Even the best that we did was in service to him. Even the good things that we did were still as part of his kingdom. Still putting self before God. The slave lived for that master. One day, the slave is dead. He dies. I'm changing my illustration a bit from what I normally do. He's no longer under the authority of that old master. He no longer has to do the master's bidding. The slave could now say, remember, it's just an illustration, even though he's dead, but he could say, "It is no longer I who live. I no longer serve you. I'm no longer under your control." Of course, in the illustration that I've used before, the slave has been bought by another master, a loving, good, and kind master, and he's going to live for that master. We'll see that for a moment, or in a moment or two. But one day, this slave is walking along the street. The slave who's dead to that old master. That link is broken. The bind is gone. And one day he sees the old master on the other side of the street. The old master calls out to him, "Come over here. Come over and do my bidding." Now, out of old habits, because he was so used to doing what this master said, he starts to cross the road over towards the old master. Then he stops halfway across. He reminds himself, "Wait a minute. You don't own me. He's dead. That slave that I was to you is gone. It's no more. I don't have to do your bidding. That link is gone. It is no longer I who live. No longer live for self. No longer pursuing the old, dead nature, its goals, desires, and pleasures. No longer part of Satan's kingdom. It is no longer that old self that lives. It's dead." What a change. All through Jesus Christ who died for us. Crucified with Christ. No longer I who live. And that's what brings us thirdly and lastly this evening to Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. Because this change is truly remarkable. We're not left in a vacuum. We're not left as dead men and women. It isn't that now we've died and there's no life in us whatsoever. No, now instead we have true life. Christ lives in me. We are now united to Jesus Christ. Paul, who'd been Saul, the persecutor of the church, the hater of Jesus Christ, has now been taken, his old self crucified with Christ. The punishment has been paid for sin, the old nature removed. And now Paul is saying, "Now I am Paul the Christian. Christ lives in me. I'm a new creation. I've been taken hold of by Jesus Christ. I've been grasped by Jesus Christ. I'm indwelt by Jesus Christ." In Christ is one of Paul's favorite expressions and one of his most used expressions or phrases. In Christ. He's been lifted up out of the pit that we sang in Psalm 40. And it's not just lifted up out of the pit, but he's been set on the rock Jesus Christ. It's firmly fixed, grounded in. And Christ Jesus himself has come and made his home in Paul. He is a new creation. And this is who we are. We are in Jesus Christ. We are attached to him. We remain in him. His Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, God the Spirit, lives in us. We now have the power of God in our lives. We have the ability to love God, worship God, and follow God. We have the power, the Lord Jesus Christ in us, that we can say no to sin and live for Christ. We now have spiritual eyesight, that when we read his word, we can understand it. We now have spiritual hearts that beat according to God's word, that have new desires, new longings, new hopes. We have spiritual ears to hear and minds to understand and to think. A new nature. What a change through the gospel. No works of our own. No self-righteousness has done this. No following of traditions, no keeping of the law has brought about this true change. No, it is all of grace in and through Jesus Christ. And friends, this is our true identity. We are in Jesus Christ. Sinners, forgiven. The old self, put to death. Now new life. New identity. New purpose, new focus. A new eternity. All through Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me. No wonder Paul is so adamant that the gospel must be defended at all costs. There's no room for trust in self. No room to add in any good works of our own. There is no gospel if we put our own good works or traditions, our own efforts into saving ourselves. No, Christ died for me, and I have been crucified with Christ. My old nature is done away with. I no longer live, but rather Christ lives in me. As we look ahead to communion this coming Lord's Day, as we look to the cross, as we remember Christ's death, this is what we are declaring. We are declaring what he has done for us. We are acknowledging this glorious change that's been brought about through Jesus Christ. Our sin isn't just paid for, but our old self is done away with, crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but I have new life. Christ lives in me. What a change has come to our lives. Now we're going to see on the Lord's Day what difference that makes to our everyday living. Paul will go on to say, the life I now live in the flesh, there will be struggles. There will be temptations and hardships. But we go through those as new creations. Those with Christ Jesus living in us, because we've been crucified with him. Amen.